Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, God. When God do something for the leaves, he do something for the leaves. And we just take it personal, and it'll be our topic for this evening. We're talking about spiritual warfare in relationships. And what I loved about the conversation, because all this weekend, we've been under attack by all sides. But this is Purpose Kingdom Network. This is the turning point. This is the 992nd, 62 episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. And I am your host, Maureen Lee. And the next is?
My name is Elder Charles Lee.
Amen. And you just turned into the turning point.
Yes, yes, and we're here today to really reiterate what we do. We try to reiterate this about every 4, 5, 6 months to let people know that we haven't come out yet. We are still in a spiritual battle. Amen. And it's so funny and weird. Me and my wife, we'd be looking on TV and just watching these people that are pastors of these mega churches, and these people are talking about the problems and the trials and tribulations that they're going through. So money don't solve everything. Amen? And these people have mega churches that are in football stadiums. Okay, so we're here to let you know today that spiritual warfare is not prejudice. Okay, it will come at you no matter where you are in your life. So we need to really look at this today, because we are definitely in a battle. And just like when I was in the military, you can't fight your enemy unless you know your enemy.
Amen.
Amen. You have to know your enemy, because, see, you can't start a fight unless you know who and what you're fighting and what you're fighting for. Amen. You know, a lot of people out there just swinging in the air and they get tired, you know, but see, you got to be making connections with this spiritual warfare, because the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. And that's his job. And I want to tell you this one verse that me and my wife, we always go back on when we're going through heavy spiritual warfare. And it's Luke 12:48. To whom much is given, much will be required. To whom much is given. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is, if you've heard this line of wisdom, you know it means we are held responsible for what we have. If we have been blessed with talents, wealth, knowledge, time, and that is like it is expected to, that we need to use all those talents and other talents that you have to benefit others. You know, because see, sometimes they say if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Amen. So if we sit down on those talents we got and don't go out and pray for people, because you might be a prayer warrior. You know, God might give you the power of healing, you know, prophecy. We have to go and use that for him, not for our benefits, but for his people. That's just like these, what the people that read your palm and all that stuff, Maureen, then you got the
psychics. Yeah, psychics.
You have those, and see, God didn't tell nobody to charge anybody for his talents. Okay, that talent he gives you is not for you to live off and make money.
Amen.
Amen. And a lot of people are doing it, so we're just letting you know that to whom much is given, much is required. So, you know, I don't know where you are in your life right now. I don't know if you have a mega church. I don't know if you have 5 people in your church. I don't know if you have a mid-sized church. Whatever you're going through, God is telling you to whom much is given, much is required. So, see, maybe the past 3, 4, 5 years, your life been just hunky dory, you've been going through good. Now God said, to whom much is given,
come on,
much is required. So now we at the required point. Okay, so you know, let's don't ball up in a corner and think, woe is me, why am I going through this? Because, you know, now you got to pay up. God didn't say when you came out and that you would go and tell everybody about him and, you know, give his word out that everything would be easy and, you know, you would never have trials and tribulations and problems. But the thing is, like I said, what was the verse again, honey? Luke 12 and 48. He's telling you, every once in a while, you got to pay up.
Mm-hmm.
Once you go through that smooth patch, every once in a while, you're going to have a rough one. So, see, you know, enjoy the smooth patch while you can.
Yeah,
okay, because the rough one is coming. You know, and I want to let you saints know that, you know, like I said, you have to know who you're fighting so you can get a game plan.
Hand me that paper.
You have to get a game plan.
Yeah, because, you know, the funny part is the same characteristics that God has.
Ooh, use big words.
Your enemy
characteristics.
Has. So when you in this fight, you need to know him.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know he's cunning. He's deceitful. He's proud. He's fierce. He's cruel. You know, you need to know these things. Because if you don't know him, how you know who you fighting?
He's everything that God is not. He's just the opposite.
So if you know the enemy is there, you know your God is love, peace. And he gives you peace that passes all understanding. So you have to know these things about whose side you're on. And my main thing is always it takes you back to 2 Timothy 2 and 15, which says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, divided in the word of truth. You need to know. And as you knowing, you got to put the armor of God on. The armor of God is very important in this fight. Because the fight has nothing to do with you. This is a spiritual battle that we're in. He's in relationships. He's in marriages. He's in your children. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy. He's ready to devour anything that's in his way, even if it's you.
Amen. In this battle, it's not like the battles that we have now with the Army, Air Force, Marines, you know, where we figure we got to go in and get the tanks and we got to get the jets and all this. This thing here tells you we have to put on what, honey?
The armor of God.
The full armor of God. And one thing, and I never noticed it until years ago, until they just brought up to my attention again. If you ever notice in the full armor of God, honey, look, do you see prayer in there anywhere?
Nope.
That's number 7. People don't realize, once we put all this on, now we got to get down and start praying. Prayer's not on there. Prayer has never been on there. So it's 6 pieces of armor, but once you put all that armor on, now we got to start praying. Amen? Because, see, Ephesians 6, prayer is the 7th piece of the armor. It activates all of the rest of the spiritual armor. That's just like go out and get a toy for Christmas for kids and don't get a battery. It ain't going to work.
It don't work that way.
It ain't going to work. I mean, the thing may walk and talk and, you know, do all kind of hand movements, but if you don't put that battery in, prayer is that battery. If you don't put that battery in there, it's not going to work. You're just sitting there with the full armor of God on, and God says, so, okay, you dressed, but you ain't got nowhere to go. I don't know what you're doing. What are you doing? Once you start praying, God says, okay, now we activate it. That's just like when you get a credit card and they send it to you in the mail. They give you a number to activate it, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because if you don't activate that credit card, it's sitting in your hand. That credit card ain't no good. So you got to call it and activate it.
Yeah, that's the same thing with your relationship with God. If you don't talk to him, you don't pray with him, you don't read the word, you're not activated. You deactivated.
And see, prayer is just like having a refrigerator. If you don't plug it up, ain't nothing going to get cold, is it?
Hey, come on.
So, see, you got to use that prayer. And see, prayer is the divine mechanism God has given us to tap into his power. See, we can't, without praying, we can't do nothing through God. Because, see, that's like prayer is, you know, and people think prayer is so, so high sedidity that you got to use what they call it, $10 words. You know what I mean? Prayer is just simple.
Yeah, just a conversation. I keep telling people, I could be in my kitchen, and you know how I am. I say, Dad, I have a problem, and it's really bothering me now. I say, Father, now you know it's going on about 4 or 5 paychecks where Charles is shorted 40 hours, and I know I'm not Job. I'm not there yet. But I know you're going to provide in all situations. I know you got my back. But I still need substance. But I had to realize this thing is bigger than me and Charles.
Oh, yeah.
This is city of Philadelphia we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the city of Philadelphia is under attack anyway.
We keep telling them, what's the only word, what's the only city in Revelations? Philadelphia. Philly is, and see, we're going to jump on this real quick and jump off of it because it's so much going on in our city right now, and all of our leaders need to pray. We need to pray for a solution. You know, we need to pray for a covering for all of the leaderships, all the people in the churches, because it's about ready to be just like an overwhelming running over of people being unemployed. Hanneman is closing down. They got the refinery closing down. That might be 3,000-4,000 people out of work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when people get out of work, they start doing by whatever means necessary for them to feed their families, for them to pay their bills? So I'm telling you out here now, saints, we need to get together. We need to pray because this thing is getting real. God is showing you right in front of your face. People are losing their jobs. People are losing their pensions. People are losing their houses, cars. Relationships are breaking up because people can't make ends meet. So we have to look at this thing for what it is. It's a battle. And in a spiritual world battle, see, a lot of things going in our life, we try not to look at it as a spiritual battle, so we look for other solutions. Go talk to your friend. You know, you out of a job. Go start, you know, on the corner selling drugs. You talk to God about this thing because, see, whatever God has going on, he always has a plan to bring you out. If he take you in one way, he's going to bring you out the other way. Amen? That's called grace and mercy. He's going to bring you out. But the thing is, we got to realize where we at and what we're going through, because that's just like people tell you for years about your heritage. And I don't care who you are. You can be white, black, Chinese, you know, Spanish, whatever. You can't be proud of who you are until you know who you are.
Amen.
And knowing who you are and a child of God, you know that you have no reason to fear what's going on. They're telling you in the Bible that this is going to happen. It's supposed to happen. And if you read it, you can read it verbatim, and it's happening just like it said. So, see, this is your book to let you know. The Bible lets you know exactly what things are going on, and it tells you what to do in those situations.
Yes, it does.
And mainly, like I said, you should always have the full armor on at all times. Always have the full armor on. But see, when you get in those situations, you step up to a situation that the devil's bothering you, you got the armor on anyway. But now you have to start throwing God's word at him. Once you start throwing God's word at him, he start backing up. That's just like you ever see a boxer in the middle of the ring, and he's throwing a jab, boop. You steady hitting the devil, bam, 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 and then when it comes time for God to bring you out, he gives you that right punch to knock him straight out.
But that's why you had, like you said, in Ephesians 6:10-18, it tells you the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the spirit, and your feet a preparation of peace.
And honey,
you have to know it. But the main shield is your prayer life and your faith.
And it says the belt of what? The belt of truth. So see, we got to know this thing for ourselves. We got to come to God with our pure hearts to let him know,
mm-hmm.
God, we going through this thing and we tired because we flesh and bones. It says the belt of truth. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, the next one she was talking about was the breastplate.
Come on.
The breastplate of righteousness. Come on, people. We got to start doing this thing right.
We have to.
We got to start living a righteous life if you want God to bless you.
And you know what? And what was important to us to have this conversation, because the time we're living in, I believe with my whole heart, these are the last days when husbands and wives are going at each other, children and siblings is going at each other, mothers and daughters, the neighborhoods, the corner boys with the corner across the street boys, and then you got your president that's like he's not giving anything for Philadelphia, because we at this I forgot the name of the state we are, but anybody can come in, and he wants us to change all that. But we're in a spiritual warfare. I know God has already won the first battle, but guess what? This is another battle right now. So if you're not on your post, you're letting the devil in all through your house.
Amen.
You got to keep the covering on your children. You got to speak the word in their life. You got to speak life.
Amen.
This thing is real.
And let me tell you a little something about the belt. It says the belt of truth was named after the leather belt with an apron that hung in front of the Roman soldier's groin and lower abdomen. Small brass plates were attached to the apron to provide the greatest possible protection. Amen. So, see, we're still talking about how God is protecting you. Now, the breastplate of righteousness. The Roman soldiers would have fastened the breastplate around his chest. There were two types of breastplates. The first type of breastplate was fashioned by joining several broad curved metal bands together using leather thongs. The other was a type of chain mail constructed by linking small metal rings together until they formed a vest. Now, in our world life today, the breastplate of righteousness is called a bulletproof vest. And if you notice what a bulletproof vest is, it's protecting vital organs in your body. Amen? Your heart, your lungs, your kidneys. This is protecting all that. So see, now that breastplate of righteousness is guarding that heart, so the devil can't get in there, because see, only God knows the heart. Amen? Now the next one, the next one is the feet. We got the feet. Feet prepared the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:15. And your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. See, you got to be ready at all times for this battle. Amen. You got to be ready. You God said, "Be ye ever ready." Amen. And see, that's why they had good shoes on, and back then in the day they looked like more like sandals, but they were girded and they were tied up your ankle so that they wouldn't come off and they'd be comfortable. Marching was an essential part of a soldier's life, and no soldier could march far without sturdy shoes. Amen. Even before the Roman era, the breaking of a soldier's shoe was a metaphor for weakness or defeat. So see, you got to have your feet girded. They got to be planted on steady ground. Amen. And the Roman soldier's shoes were fashioned with thick, they didn't say thin, mm-hmm. It was fashioned with thick leather and studded through the soles of the knob nails. So see, they had like the Michael Jordan of sandals.
Yes,
amen. They had stuff where they can stay in battle for weeks and months, and the shoes are still good. They weren't slipping, they weren't tearing, they weren't breaking off. So even in the Word of God, when it says prepare your feet, if we got to start running to battle, we don't want to run out of shoes. Amen.
Come on.
So see, we got to have on some good shoes, and see, we got to be able to ready when God say, "Let's go, let's go." Amen.
Mhm.
Now let's go on to the shield of faith.
Come on.
Oh, come on now. It says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith.
Yes.
with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That said a lot. That said a lot right there. Because when we get under attack, you should have that shield on already.
You got to.
Okay? And see, the shield, to me, I'm gonna read here what it says about the shield. It said, made from goat skin or calf skin, stretched over sturdy pieces of wood.
Yes.
The Roman shield stood 4 feet long and was 3 feet wide. Iron rims were fitted around the top of the bottom edges, and an iron circle was attached to the center of the shield. The boards curved inward, and a leather strap was fastened to the shield's back. That's
yes,
so you can put your hand and put your arm in and hold it.
Yes.
But see, if you have the full armor of God on at all times, this shield of faith, which God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Come on.
Amen. You throw that shield of faith up when he start throwing them darts and blocking them. You know what I mean? They come, boom, 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 boom. You block them down because you should always have that shield of faith. And see, that shield of faith, look, that thing can protect what that breastplate can't. Like I told you, a breastplate in the world today, we call that a bulletproof shield. Like I said, I'm going to remind you again, bulletproof shields were in front and in the back because it protect vital organs in your body. See, if they hit your heart, you're done. They hit your lungs, you're done. So see, that breastplate will sit there, and it will guard everything about the devil can't get into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That shield, something come to the side where the breastplate ain't blocking it. You throw that shield up, and that'll block that.
Yes,
amen?
Yes.
But see, if you look at this shield, everything was made of good craftsmen. You can tell good craftsmen when they thought about this, everything to put it together. And we still talking about the Roman soldier, but we still talking about the spiritual realm. See, we talking about the earthly realm and the spiritual realm. Now we talking about the helmet of salvation. Okay, because see, you know, we don't want our head to be wide open out there. Like you see these guys riding, you know, and I don't know why they did it. They took this law and took the helmet off of motorcycles. That leaves you so vulnerable. So vulnerable. Your head is like a watermelon. Okay, so if you get in an accident, prayfully you don't flip over and hit your head on the ground or whatever, because you're done. But see, in the spiritual realm, we don't even play that. We put on what is called the helmet of salvation.
Yes, come on, God.
Take the helmet of salvation, Ephesians 6 and 17. The Roman soldiers' helmets were fastened from bronze or iron, strong material. Ain't nothing getting through it. Brass or iron. Two hinged cheek pieces protected the size of the soldier's face. Amen. So see, here's another protection. We're protecting their head. We already are protected with the breastplate and with the belt of truth. So it protected his face for the sake of comfort. Soldiers frequently lined their helmets with sponge or felt. That's to get away from that hard metal so it won't scratch your head. Amen. So you put something up there so it feel comfortable. At the time of Christ, a crest with a plume of horsehair was placed on the top of the Roman soldier's helmet. That's how they know they were Roman soldiers, because of the horsehair on the top of their helmet. But now we're talking about something that you know, we are not going to have the devil get into our minds. Amen? So that helmet of salvation keeps him from getting into our minds, because, see, he'll get in there and give you a reprobated mind. Amen?
Yes, yes.
And you'll be going in all different directions, and you'll be wondering what's going on. So keep on your helmet of salvation. Amen? And like I said, we should have this armor on at all times. Now, the last but not least is the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? Your word. Your word. Now, I mean, even if you're at work, some jobs get so ironic where they just... They don't want you to say nothing about God on the premises. They don't want you to. But on your break, when you at lunch, if you got a little small Bible in your pocket, or if you got one in your desk, pull it out and read a couple passages and find out how your day go.
Mm-hmm.
See if your day don't go a little bit better, because, see, now you're giving God his time.
Come on.
So read a couple passages, you know, and especially if you got a favorite chapter, like some people like Psalms 23, you know, other people go to John 6, you know, it's a lot of passages that you can read that can give you comfort. Amen. So you know, you have to be able to pull that word out at all times.
You have to.
Now, and it says here, it reads here, the word of the Roman soldiers was a little more than 2 feet long and was crafted with iron. The blacksmiths did that. So they telling you, you're looking at something, a sword, 2 feet long. That's a long sword. 2 feet long, crafted from iron by the blacksmiths, hardened the blade of the sword by covering the red-hot iron with coal dust. The coal dust formed a hard carbon coating on the blade. So that blade was ready to slice whatever. Just like the word. You can cut down the devil with the word. All you do is throw it out there, put God's word, and he's going to back up because he know God's word.
Mm-hmm.
See, y'all got to be careful about this thing with the devil. He know God's word better than y'all do. That's why he throw it at you and he twist it.
Yep.
Didn't he do that to Adam and Eve in the garden? He got Adam and Eve in the garden and he twisted that word. He said, well, he said that, you know, you weren't supposed to, you know, eat from this tree, that tree. But he ain't saying about this tree. You know,
come on, baby, break it down.
He said, come on, I mean, you know, look, you know, he ain't going to miss it. He ain't going to miss the apple. He ain't going to miss it. So, you know, he told you not to eat from the tree of knowledge. He said, don't you want to know what's going on? And I feel if you do that, eat that, you know, you probably understand what's going on, why you're here. And that one instance, when Eve did what she did, it opened their eyes. See, they had spiritual eyes then, but it opened their fleshly eyes to see, we're naked.
Break it down.
Look at this garden. This is beautiful. And why are we here? You look different from me. Look at the parts that you have. Now they want to cover them. They were just out there naked, running around, doing God's will. But as soon as the serpent got in, their spiritual eyes went to fleshly eyes. And that's just what we're doing now. God will give you a spiritual blessing. And all of a sudden, somebody come along. And I see that in my job every day on the streets. Married men that engage. Here come this big, fine woman. She comes down. How you doing? And all of a sudden, you forget about the church you just came from. You just came from church, but you at Walmart, and she said, "Oh, that suit looks so nice on you." And you, are you a pastor? Oh my God, it fits so well.
But you know what else, babe? It just takes me back. Even with our children, it's like everything's going great, everything's good. They bring a guy home that you know is going to bring torment to the family.
Everything doing good,
and then the bottom fall out.
You know, I'm sitting up here looking at it, but back to my story. Okay, we sitting up here, and now you just totally thrown off.
Yes.
You know, you forgot what your wife told you to get. You're not looking at the list no more. Now all of a sudden, every time you look and see, I'm telling my wife. Know I'm telling this because I run into this all the time, and I blow them off.
Yes, you know.
I blow them off. Every aisle I look, they're going down the aisle. Well, do you know where the toilet paper is? I don't work here. I mean, you know, sir, can you tell her where the toilet paper is?
You know my favorite one. Excuse me, can I ask your husband? Can he get that for me? And sometimes it's so low they get the bend down. I'm like, it's just funny to me.
Like I said.
You know, it's funny, but you need to know. He's here to chill, chill,
you need to know the snares. You know the snares. And like I'm telling you,
by any means necessary.
Men that are listening, I don't care. I don't care who you are. See, I'm a realist about this thing. Because like I told my wife, I deal with it every day, every other day. I don't care if you Bishop so-and-so, okay? I don't care if you pastor one of the biggest churches on the East Coast. You are subject to this, okay? This is a daily battle that we fight. We fight against flesh and blood.
Come on.
Okay, principalities. You got to understand this. So I'm telling you today, I don't care what your title is. I don't care how much money you make. God went through it all, but he went through it all so we can go through it and come out victoriously. Not so that we won't go through it. So don't tell me that you're not. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. Even when I was helping pastor a church, one thing you got to understand is you got to be real with your people. Because, see, if you give them a fake, false sermon or advice, that's going to go a long way because they're going to tell somebody else. So let them know. No, it's nothing wrong with you saying, I had to fight this resistance and go around the corner from it. Because they need to know when they come, when it comes up on them, they may not be that strong, but they can listen to the words that you told them. Run, flee. If you know that there's danger on the right, go to the left. If you know there's danger on the left, go to the right. God will give you utterance about, you know what, something ain't right about this.
Come on.
I've seen men go down because they've given women rides in their cars. Amen.
Say it.
And I'm talking about that church. We ain't talking about just a random ride. I'm talking about somebody you know that been looking at you for a long time, looking at you sideways. Amen. This battle is real. It's real. It's real, saints. She'll get in your car, and she'll come back to church and tell everybody that you took her home.
Yeah.
Okay, and once you took her home, nobody knows what goes on in that car but you and her, but she'll come back and say, he looked at me funny, he touched my leg, and he smiled at me. And all you did was drive her and drop her off. You know what? I'm telling you, men of God out there, if you have a wife, you better keep her with you whenever you got any women around. I don't care if it's her sister.
Yeah.
Amen? Keep them, keep yourself girded. Keep that woman around so that woman can keep that other woman in check.
That's right.
I remember we used to go out and pray for people's houses or go to them and have prayer with them. My wife was right there by me because I didn't want nobody said nothing was said out the way.
Yeah.
We used to do the elderly, remember?
Yeah.
We used to take them scarves and, but see, everything is out there for a reason. You can't take everything at face value.
No.
It may look good, but see, once you get up on it, just like the fig tree, it's dead.
Hey, come on.
See, you can't take something in without being part of it. So, see, that's why when you come up on something, you have to look at it and look at it for what it is.
You have to.
Amen. You got to look at it for what it is. And see, like I'm saying, all you men out there that are engaged to be married, oh, y'all going to get hit up real quick. Amen. The devil really knows when he can break a marriage up. So, you know, he's not worried about that. He worried about you men that are good-hearted. You got you a good woman in the church. You know what? He's going to throw all kinds of temptations at you.
Yes, he is.
Every time you look, it's going to be a woman saying, well, you and sister so-and-so, are y'all still talking? Are y'all happy? Yes, we are. Okay, yes, we are. We're happy. And I want to let you know. Well, matter of fact, here come my fiance now. Okay, well, I'll talk to you later. No, I want to introduce y'all. Okay, but see, now you don't want to be introduced. Because, see, one woman reads another woman. I'm telling you what I know. Been there, seen that, done that. Okay? So, this battle that we're talking about with these relationships, my wife trying to let y'all know, this thing is real.
It is.
See, if you know the phrase, or the Bible verse where it say, where two or more are gathered in my name, I'll be there in the midst. God is not talking about a church. God is talking about a couple, a married couple, or a couple that's going to get married, they get together, sons, daughters, before you get to the church. See, if I can break you up before you get to the church, it ain't no church. Ain't no such thing as a church. So if I can get two or more amongst me and I can get him in the midst, we're going to take God to church with us. Because he said, he already told you, with two or more gathered, I'll be in the midst. Okay, God, let's go to church. Me and my wife together, we decided, we prayed about it. You know, and we going to church. So we take, but if he can get in the midst and have these little harlots or whatever it is come around in your face and make you think, because see, one thing we do, men, and I say it again, I don't care what race, creed, color you are, when you go through problems, you talk too much. You talk too much. You find somebody, even your friend that's been your friend and your family and your wife know them for years, a female, you tell her too much. Every time you got a problem, you go to her talking. Well, we going through this. We going through that. We didn't have these problems. Okay, now she is up on everything that's going on in your household. So she has the upper hand. So now you say, my wife don't cook for me every day or three meals a day like she's supposed to. So now guess what? She at work with you. She done bought you in dinner. Where did this come
from? Cook for you.
Where did this come from? Oh, I just thought that I would bring something in.
It was
because,
just extra.
Because, you know, it was leftovers, and I figured I'd bring it in. Because you say you don't get dinner, and I don't want you to go without.
And then female, same thing for with you. Ooh, babe. Oh, I like your hair different. Ooh, you smell different. You changed the perfume. I like them earrings. That color look good on you. Watch the tricks. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy. And then after we did up the couples, we're going to do saints in church.
Amen.
The funny part, she's sitting in her sister so-and-so seat. Excuse me, miss, but that's my seat. Guess what? No seat in church have your name on it unless it's in the front. The mother's seat, the deacon board, the deaconess, the choir.
The extra ministers.
But you don't have a seat that belonged to you. Oh, look, did you see what sister so-and-so had on? What's she trying to do up in the church? Guess what? You're destroying your church. You are destroying the word that's going forth in that church. And the spiritual warfare is real. Y'all chasing members away. They got people fighting in churches. So why should the sinner want to come to church when most of the sinners are in church?
And see, one thing we got to stop doing in churches too, we gossip too much. If somebody walks up to you and they got a disagreement with the pastor, tell them go to the pastor. Amen. They got a disagreement with a minister, a deacon. Let's don't start gossiping about our leaders. Amen. They go through enough as it is now. That's why we need to pray and build them up. But see, you hear a little derogatory statement about it, and oh yeah, I heard about that too. That, you know, he should be doing more at home, or he's not paying his child support, or, you know, he's seen with different. Come on. Let's leave that alone. See, when we were younger, you know, and I don't know how far back this goes, because I may be a little older than a lot of you listening. Your mothers used to always tell you, if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. And I think that rule still can apply to today. If you have nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. Amen. So let's stop talking about our leaders. And if it's a problem that is blowing up and it's starting to erupt in the church, let's call for a meeting.
Just get together,
amen,
and pray.
Let's get together. No, we need to bring it out in open too. We're gonna pray about it that it never comes up again. Amen. But see, we need to get out, and you need to stomp on that devil head real quick. Okay, because if he's able to raise up by his neck, he can go and squeeze the rest of his body up. So we need to keep his head down. Amen. But see, even in the church, because I know several churches I was in, and now I'm speaking to my fellow ministers, you know, elders and pastors, whatever. Let's keep people business out of the pulpit. Amen. That is more spiritual warfare than you would ever know. Because when you can get into a leader that is stepping up in the pulpit and he's preaching, and he kills the confidentiality that he has with his members and start bringing up stuff that they talked about, that's not confidentiality. Amen? That's gossip. So see, even the leaders down to the congregation, if somebody talks to something or they talks with you in confidentiality, they only tell you, that should be between you, them, and God. But see, that's why we always told you, whenever you have problems, like my wife said, pray. You have to pray. Because God is the only one that's not going to go back and put your business in the street. That's not his forte. So see, just because you talk to God, the only way somebody going to know your business is if God told them to come to you and give you a prophecy. Don't worry about what's going on in your life, because it's going to be okay. That money you lost, you're going to get back tenfold. That car that you lost, God going to give you a better one. That house you lost, God going to give you a bigger one. Now, as far as the gossip coming back, that's another part of spiritual warfare that is trying to break down our churches. Amen. And see, you know, we still laying on that sword. See, when it starts happening like that, let's throw that word out. Throw that word out to them, because one thing God loves to hear is his word coming back at him. The devil hate to hear that all. Amen.
Excuse me, you guys, my granddaughter's
one. So we have to know that, and we're gonna start from the top. Okay? It says the helmet of salvation. Amen. Let's throw that on. That's protecting our minds, protecting our brains, the way the devil can get into our thoughts.
Come on.
And see, one thing I found out too is that the devil is not all knowing and all seeing. Okay, so see, the devil only acts on what you talk about and what you do.
Yep.
God reads the heart and the mind. Amen. Because he's all seeing, all knowing, you know, all evident. He Alpha, Omega, the beginning, the end. The devil just works with what you give him.
And you know what? The thing is, even with the devil, he has to walk. He walks this earth. He can't be everywhere at all times. Only the Father can do that. So if he's messing with Beverly, he's not messing with Maureen.
Oh,
if
yeah.
he's messing with Charles, he's not messing with Steve.
Because he can't. Like my wife said, he cannot be in all places at one time. And a lot of people don't understand that because they figure, oh, he's bothering me. You ever notice? And I was reading, well, I told you, honey, Job 20. I think it was Job 20. Let me look that up real quick. I was reading in Job 20 where it was telling you about how Job was complaining. You know, and God had to reiterate to him and bring to his remembrance again. You know, I hear you. I understand what you're saying, but where were you when I built the foundation of the world? He's trying to tell Job you wasn't even thought about right then. You were thought about. You were coming, but you was not that important right then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, see, if you weren't there with me at the beginning, what's the problem? Because I already told you, and they said that, you know, people were persecuted for my name, for my namesake. God told you his namesake is who? Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be persecuted for his namesake. Amen?
Amen.
And this is the King James Version, honey?
Yes, baby.
Job 1:7. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? The Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. So, see, he ain't got no car. You know, he ain't got no driver.
Mm-hmm.
He said, where you come? He said, walking up and down.
Come
to
on.
And fro. Okay? And that's when, you know, we all know the story. If you know the story about Job, and he, and, you know, and God asked him, said, have you tried my servant Job?
To test on Job.
You know, and see, if this was in us this day, say this time and day, and you know, God is ready to sick the devil on you. You'd be like, ho, I'm good. No, but see, God wanted to let him know, I don't care what you do to him. And see, that's what's going on with us now in this spiritual warfare. God said, I don't care what you do to them. I want you to take them through because that makes them stronger for me. You don't understand. See, it's a plan and a purpose even in letting you loose to do what you're doing. That's going to build my people up. But see, the devil thinks he's having this fun, but God, dude, he's telling them the same day in the same way, because he's the same guy back then that he is now. He told them, you can do everything, but don't take his life. So all this stuff y'all going through now? What's this, honey?
A summary.
All this stuff you're going through now is happening because. And it said, here it says, Job is a wealthy man living in a land called Uz, with his large family and extended flock. He is blameless. So if God is throwing a lot in your way right now, yeah, it's a lot that you're doing right. Amen. It's a lot you're doing right.
Amen.
He said that Job is blameless and upright, always careful to avoid doing evil. Satan challenges God that if given permission to punish the man Job, he will turn and curse God. And anybody know the story knows that he didn't. He went through. I mean, we get a backache, we get a knee ache, a headache, we call out of work. Job has boils all over his body, in his mouth, all up and down his legs, all on his arms. and they just bust. That man, they said you couldn't even be around him. He smelled so bad. And his wife even told him, why don't you just go on and just curse him and die. Job lost all his kids. See, we ain't in no real spiritual warfare. Come on, y'all. We ain't in no real spiritual warfare. We in a little battle. We ain't in no spiritual warfare. But let me remind you again, this is the 962nd episode of Purpose Kingdom. If you have any comments, I want to ask a question, you can call 319-527-6091. But like I said, we're not really in no spiritual warfare, saints. This is like, you know, this is a scrimmage game. Remember when you play high school, college football, this is a scrimmage game. Job and them was out there for the championship.
Uh-huh.
Amen. They were fighting for their lives.
Come on.
This man said up there, he lost his kids, his wife, everything he had. He was down to nothing but the clothes on his body. But he never cursed God. Even after his wife said, curse him and die. He never did that. Job hung on to his what?
His word.
No. Hold on. I'm going to tell you. Job hung on to his shield of faith.
Come on.
He hung on to the shield of faith because he knew that with everything he had, Job know he didn't get that on his own. God blessed him with land that you could just look and just see so far. As far as you could see was Job's land. He had cattle. Then he had sheep, honey.
He had everything. He was the wealthiest man. But the moral of the story is, we really want you to realize everything he lost.
Everything.
Everything he lost.
His family.
He never lost his faith.
That's right.
So we can just stand through this test we all going through a little while longer.
Just a little while longer.
Just a little while longer. We're going to receive our benefits tenfold.
Amen.
because of our faith. And that's what we have to learn. We have to learn about his faith.
And what did it say? What kind of giver that God like?
A cheerful giver.
Now, see, let's take that a little further, saints. It's not all about money. See, we in church and they tell us about a cheerful giver. God, he likes a cheerful giver of your time too and of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
To stick to your faith. So when you're going through, let that faith give you a little cheer. Let it make you happy to know that when I come out of this, I'm going to come out of this better than it is when I went in it. Amen? You have to know that this thing is for your good. And as you go through it, as you strong and stand up and go through it, you're making God look good. You're blessing him because God is saying, that's my child that's going through that. I'm letting him go through all this because when you come out, you're going to be a much better Christian than you was when you went in. Like we told you before, gold gets heat turned up because it makes it more pure. So the more the heat, the purer the gold. So the more heat that God puts underneath you, when you come out, you're going to be on a whole new different level, a whole different level in life, a whole different spiritual level. People going to look at you different.
Yeah.
They're going to say, wait a minute. I remember when so-and-so used to walk up and down the street and cuss all the time, tell people off, talk about
when.
I remember when they were selling drugs. I remember when they was on the corner prostituting. You know what? God can take anybody and turn them around. If he can take John the Baptist, which was a murderer, and turn him around, he can turn anybody around. So, see, what we're saying tonight, with this spiritual battle, we just need you to stand strong. Stand strong on God's word because his word will never come back void. Amen? And tonight, we just want to let you know that if it's anything that you heard that struck your interest, that really, you know, made you want to get closer to God, we just ask tonight that, you know, you take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. And once you say that in your mind and say it in your heart, we want you to tell somebody else. Maybe somebody at your job. Maybe somebody in your household. You might even step outside and see one of your neighbors and say, you know what? I just accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in my life. And I know my life is going to be different. And when you do that, We want you to go on and find you a Bible preaching, teaching church to further your knowledge in Christ. Amen. We want you to further your knowledge in Christ because we just don't want you to stand still. And as you get in church, you're going to start listening to the word, and this word is going to start putting this full armor on you. Amen. Because, see, as soon as you accept Christ, the full armor don't go on you. Amen. You have to get into the word. You got to dig into his word so you know what the belt of truth is, what the breastplate of righteousness is as you put that on, and how he prepares your feet to stand firm when atheists and people that don't believe in him come against you, but you're standing firm on his word. Bringing up the shield of faith, bringing up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit. See, if you put down any of this, the rest of this armor, always keep your sword with you. Because if you've seen those movies on TV, you can throw that sword up and start praying, and the rest of the armor come on.
Come on.
And once it come on, it start to activate. Once it activates, you can sit back and know in the revelation knowledge that God got your back. Amen. So we're just saying, you know, if you heard something tonight that really got into your spirit, amen, to let you know that God is who he say he is. Now, you didn't try so many other things in your life. I'm challenging you to try God. You didn't try Buddha. You didn't try all the rest of these other religions, and things are still going wrong on a constant basis. See, Christians aren't always in turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, God bring their head about the water, let them get some air.
Yeah.
Then when it's time for you to get girded again and learn some more about my word, you dig down in the word again. You go right back in the Bible.
You have to.
But see, a lot of us be sitting here and wonder why so many things are going wrong. You know, even when you're trying to date the wrong person, that's the same way with dating in the wrong religion. Okay, if that's not for you, it's not for you.
Yes, yes.
Amen. So let's stop trying to force stuff on us that it wasn't made for us. Amen.
But the whole key is you have to get your relationship. And that's what Purpose Kingdom is built on. They want you to have a personal relationship, not just being a Christian, not just having just to say you know him. We want you to really know him for yourself. A one-on-one thing. I have a date night with Jesus. I'm going to read my word. I'm going to study. I'm going to talk to him. Make your date nights with your man.
Well, you make time for everything else.
You have to.
You make time to play that Xbox. You make time to go to the club to see your friends. You make time to go out. You make time for everything but God. So see, God is a jealous God. If you don't have time for him, he don't have time for you. That's why he's a God of choice. He's not going to force himself on you. And see, that's only the part I tell my wife, that's why I have a little disagreement. Force yourself on me, okay? Because sometimes I'm so stupid, I don't even realize what's going on. Force yourself on me, okay? That's why I tell God, do what you have to do to wake me up. I mean, if you got to, you know, punch me in the head in the morning, or say, because see, me and my wife have a thing about when God wants us to rest, especially when I'm off from work, or if God wants us just to rest, period. Every time we go to do something, it start raining. Am I right, honey? It start pouring down. It starts storming. But the thing is we listen. We don't force ourselves out in that rain. When the last time you seen us get an umbrella and go jump in the car?
We don't.
And when we laid down, we got some of the best sleep. Even like when we went on vacation, me and my wife were so relaxed. I was like, where are we at? And she said, we up in the Pocono. I said, we haven't got sleep like this in I don't know how long. But they got over on us because they gave us a little rinky-dink bed. They gave us a full-size bed. And see, me and my wife were used to king-size. Yeah. No, we used to king-size bed. Sometimes all night, I don't even know my wife in the bed. The bed's so big. When we was in the Poconos, every time she breathed, I knew she was there. But see, that's God's plan, too, and purpose. God said, y'all got this king-size bed, okay, and you know, me and my wife, well, in our early stages of marriage, she's always reach over and touch me to make sure I'm net. He's there. I said, you know, well, yeah, she would wrap me up with her legs and tie me up. But in this king-size bed, Sometimes I don't even know she in the bed. But when we was in the Poconos for 7 days, we had this little bed. She could move over an inch. There I am. I move over an inch. There she is. So, see, God has ways of bringing you together, okay, that you have no control over. But I want to read this last thing about the full armor, and it's from Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. And it says, finally,
come on,
be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power.
Come on.
Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Okay, that's what we said. Remember, always have it on.
Always.
For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of his dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm.
Come on.
Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have stand everything done, stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the righteousness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith.
Come on.
With which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then after you do that, take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions.
Hello?
With all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
Yes.
Now, even with us putting on the full armor of God, it still wants us to pray for one another. Amen? It says, pray for all the saints. God is telling us today, we have to get ready for this battle.
Yes, I think so.
Because the battle is getting worse. The battle is getting more intense. We need more saints with their word in their hands, ready to fight. We need you to have that sword. We need the shield of faith. We have to put that forward because these are, it may be 1,000 years from now, but these are the last days. Do we have a caller on the line? Caller?
What up, what up, what up? Good evening.
What up, what's up, Adrian?
Oh, man, everything. I just wanted to hit one because y'all was all in it. Y'all was definitely in the Job. And y'all know Job is like my homie because if we live like Job, then you understand you'll be doing your job. And then when you can do your job, you know, you can get a lot of other things accomplished. But we got to go through the Job.
That's right.
And a lot of people, you got to be associated with the Job. You got to be familiarized with it. That way you understand why you feel alone. That way you understand why you feel persecuted. You understand that way you understand why. But the Job is just everything for me. And I was going to say, it's like when you give your life to Christ, when you give yourselves over and you find out that this is the relationship that you want to have, what it is we all have a glass and it's full because he will fill you up.
Amen.
But then we got to think about all of the different things that we might put into a glass. And if they are not godly things, then that says that our God fill is flowing over. And so before you know it, we don't have any more God fill. Everything that we have is spirit is wrong. Everything that we deal with is rooted from a different source. But because it's so, you know, the glass is now all the way completely full with this mess. You know, it seems like now we're just playing in the overflow. But I appreciate y'all for your due diligence on that Job, because y'all really did break that down. Y'all gave a You know what I mean? That was it. Like, so if y'all listening and you missed it, go back, check the archives, and, you know, make sure you're on tomorrow night, because we're going to be on here doing it again, 9 p.m. Yeah? But y'all go ahead and, you know, I just wanted to say I was out here. Love y'all. Have a good night.
Amen. God bless you too, Angel. Do we have any announcements for tonight?
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We just thank God, we bless God for the teaching that has gone forth this evening, for the word of God that has gone forth this evening. We thank and bless God for the Lee family and for the Turning Point Ministry talking tonight about spiritual warfare. And I like the way Adrian just said that if you start to live a little more like we study in Job, you'll realize that you're on the job and you will find that you will make out okay in your
Amen.
Salvation and in your walk with Jesus Christ. We'd like to thank each and everyone who joined in with us this evening. We ask that you will join in with us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. for another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. We will be broadcasting right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We will be broadcasting with Peripheral Visions and our host, Sister Antonia Beth. Again, right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can follow us on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We would love to pray with you and to pray for you. And I do have a special request before I pass it back over into your hands to close us out of ministry tonight. A friend of mine, they placed his father on an incubator this evening, and they're basically playing a waiting game to see how his body will react to what treatments they're offering. And tonight you spoke about putting on the whole armor of the Lord, and we're two or three are gathered together, touching and agreeing. And yes, that is for a husband and a wife, but that's also for members of the body of Christ. So I'm asking those prayer warriors out there to come together, touching and agreeing with us this evening. I'm asking those of you out there who may for some reason taken off the armor to put it back on and touch and agree with us this evening. And Elder Charles and Reverend Maureen, I'm asking if you don't mind if we just go before the Lord as they requested us to do.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, we come before you this evening touching and agreeing on your word, Father. We come, Father God, calling you on your word this evening, Father, for you said in your word that anything we come to you asking in faith, Father, believing, Father, in the name of Jesus, that it shall be done unto us, Lord. You said, Father God, and they just taught this evening, Father, that if we have faith, Father, solid faith the size of a mountain, the size of a mustard seed, that we can tell the mountain to cast itself into the sea, and it will do it, Father. So we come agreeing and believing on your words this evening, Father God. We ask, God, that you, in the name of Jesus, would release a spirit of healing upon Mr. Williams in the mighty name of Jesus, God, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, Father. We anoint the door room, Father God. We anoint every window, Father God, that nothing but healing, nothing but your presence can fill that room, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we ask, Father, that in the name of Jesus, you bring a shift in the atmosphere, Father,
right now.
In the mighty name of Jesus,
Hallelujah.
God, that you let the naysayers become yaysayers, God. that those who are doubting what you can do, Lord, that you show up not for my glory, not for their glory, but for your glory, God. Let them know, God, that there is still a living God sitting on the throne. You are still the author and the finisher of our faith. You know our beginning from our ending, Father God. You have counted and numbered every second of our life, Father God. We ask, God, that you move right now, for you said life and death is in the power of our tongue, Father God. So we speak life right now, Father. We know it looks like death, but we walk by faith and not by sight. We speak life right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and not just a life back to what it was, but a saving life right now in the name of Jesus. Let every doctor, let every nurse, let every attendant, let every family member, Father, as they see your move this evening, give their lives over to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we call it done with the victorious shout of hallelujah, for we know
hallelujah.
That the battle is already won. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you all so very much, Elder and Reverend. The ministry is back again.
Amen, amen, amen,
amen.
We are linking in the spirit and agreeing with Pastor Toy on that.
Touching and agreeing.
And like she was saying, all you prayer warriors out there, we need, you know, that prayer for Sister Williams. Plus, like I was telling you, we need it for all our leadership. You know, things are going now, so, you know, it's going deeper and deeper. This thing is getting real deep. But we just want to thank you for tuning in tonight to the Turning Point on Purpose Kingdom Network for spiritual warfare. We will be continuing this again, because I was just showing my wife last time we brought this up, honey, it was 2007. So I think we may have brought it up a little bit before then, but every once in a while, it's almost like school. You got to go back to your timetables. Amen? Because that's the only way you can get to the other multiplications that you're going through right now. Amen? It's just algebra and all this other math. So we, every once in a while, I got to go back and remind people again that you are in a battle. Amen? This battle is not slowing down. It's not succeeding until God said it's going to succeed. When he feel that you got what you need from this battle, the battle will succeed for a minute.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
So see, don't speed it up in your mind, and don't slow it down, because it says no man know the hour, and that goes for the battle too. We don't know when he's coming back, and we don't know when he's going to give us a breather. So we got to have, like Pastor Toy said, we got to have this armor on at all times. And if you laid it down, one thing about the armor, it's like your sword, the word. Never keep it that far from you. You know how we all got all these guns in our houses. Somebody break in. So when the spiritual battle comes up, reach over and get your spiritual word. Never be that far away from it. Amen? And this is the Turning Point, 967th episode,
yes.
Purpose Kingdom. My name is Elder Charles Lee, and I'm here with my wife, Reverend Maureen Lee.
Yes.
And we would just... so happy that you could join us tonight, and we hope that something was said that you could take and put in your spirit tonight, to like our last subject we had, and I know you guys remember it, you can take it in your spirit and move on.
Move it on, you
amen.
Guys.
And
move
this
it on.
This is the Turning Point, signing off. God bless you, God keep you, and always remember, God loves you.
Yes.
Amen.
Woo, woo, woo!
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Step on the street down, I will not lose. Yeah, I gotta admit it, I'm so committed to winning. I will never see defeat another day that I'm living. Why? The devil's still fighting my father when he don't lose. Why he still trying to move him when he can't be moved. The master hater and deceiver want to see me dead, but I'm alive and live abundantly because Jesus led. New and daily, so the negativity in my head. I've been delivered from fear, so I ain't never scared. Attack the suffering, living, learning to love again, and count it all joy every time. That's the way it's been. I persevere because I'm pressing towards the mark. Gotta embrace the light in me, especially when it's dark. Dark clouds hovering over me must be moved. I travel through my peaks and valleys like I'm on cruise control. I let them have it, so should you.
Yeah,
Jesus driving, it ain't no way I'm going to lose.
Nah,
God with me,
I will not lose.
God with me,
I will not lose.
Set me free,
I will not lose. Nah, nah. The devil wanna see me strong. Nah, yeah. The devil wanna see me down. Nah, yeah. I will not lose.
Hate it or love it, I'm in the Lord's army.
It ain't nothing you could do that can harm me.
Nah.
I'm on the mission planting seeds like I'm farming.
Yep.
The devil think he's slick, he think he's so charming. But I'm making sure I answer the call. With God, I will never fall, so I ain't worried at all. His peace carries me when I don't understand. The name of the one who sent me is I am, I am. What you want me to do is no problem.
Yeah.
Problems that I thought I had, Lord, you solved them. I'm covered by the blood, so I am protected. I thank the just one who died and resurrected, and how I've been selected to carry on his word to the lost and the sick and those who never heard.
Yeah.
It's so amazing the confidence I have in Christ. I stand with my Holy Ghost swag.
God
with
me,
I will not lose.
God with me,
I will not lose.
Set me free,
I will not lose. Nah, nah. The devil wanna see me strong. Nah, the devil wanna see me down. Nah. I will not lose.
In the rainfall, in the wind blows, and the storm is not.